Blog Talk Radio. You're listening to Magnificent Menopause and Beyond, the radio show for the 40-plus woman. Gail and Carrie will teach you everything you need to know to embrace midlife and thrive. This isn't your mama's menopause, so fasten your seatbelt and let's get started.
Hello, everyone. It is Gail Edgell, one of your co-hosts, and I'm assuming that everyone had a great week. And if you lived in the Northeast, we have had some issues with snow, ice, rain, everything except sunshine, I think. Today it might be 28 and sunny, but it's still freezing outside. So we've had an interesting past week here on the Northeast, in the Northeast. And today we have a great guest, and Carrie's going to tell you a little bit about her in just a moment. But Carrie, how was your week?
It was good. It was fast and excessively busy. But I probably, and I hate to rub in the fact that we are not having snow and ice, oddly enough, out here in the Pacific Northwest. It's turning into spring more and more every day. So I keep trying to blow it your direction.
Yeah, you better blow harder.
I'll work on that. As soon as the show's over, I'll get to work on that.
Yeah, another storm is coming on Saturday, so.
Oh, no.
Yes, well, Saturday and I think Tuesday. So we're getting hammered with just inconveniences. It's really just testing us, especially if we're in our perimenopausal and menopausal years. It's just another
test.
Yeah,
it's just one extra stress.
Yeah.
But all that snow shoveling's got to be keeping you in prime condition out there with all that snow shoveling you're doing.
Well, Carrie, you probably don't know I love to shovel snow. That is one of my things. I love to shovel snow. And my husband will come outside and say to me, "You don't need to shovel the street. There are people coming to plow the street." So I'll be out there shoveling the street. He's like, "Could you come back in? You've been down here 3 or 4 hours." So.
You know, that could be a nice side business for you, Gail. I bet your neighbors love you.
I do. I start to do everyone's sidewalks.
What do you love about it? What do you love about it so much?
Because I'm sweating, but I'm not really sweat. You know what I mean? I feel like I'm working out hard, and I might be sweating a little bit, but I don't feel like I'm exhausted from it because it's so cold outside. I don't know. It's crazy. And people always complain about their backs hurting and their everything hurts. And I tell you, I can shovel all night long. I just love it.
You know, every time we have a show, I learn something new about you.
Yeah.
Every show. That is definitely something I did not know about you. And it's also something I never thought that I didn't know about you. It's just one of those little quirks that you just don't even think. Does this person like to shovel snow?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we have a great guest,
you know,
today, huh?
I said what? A great guest?
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely we do. You cut out for a minute. I was thinking, oh, no, the snowstorm has overtaken you and your phone is breaking up. No, we have a wonderful guest, as a matter of fact, and she is a very empowering coach. I've attended some of her teleseminars and classes before. I was very impressed, and then a friendship grew from that, And I'm really excited about the topic today and hearing what Chris has to say. So let me tell the audience a little bit about her, and then we'll just jump right in and get started. As you've just said, we have a very special guest, and today we're extremely honored to have Chris Cavanaugh joining us. And Chris is owner of Shift, Inc., and that's Inc., I-N-C, as in incorporated. She's a speaker, author, and coach. And she specializes in helping others cultivate a CEO mindset in every area of their life so their businesses, careers, and personal lives thrive. Now, Chris is an expert strategist with an amazing ability to pull her clients through difficult challenges to go on to obtain the life they truly want personally and professionally. Now, if you guys out there listening have a desire to live your life on purpose, so you wake up every single day excited about the possibilities and you maintain an unwavering belief that you will overcome any obstacles to achieve your personal and professional goals more easily and consistently, then Chris would be an absolutely wonderful resource for you to connect with to make that happen in your life. So if you're interested, Chris's websites, she has one, begintoshift.com, Again, that is www.begintoshift.com. And she also has a division of her company that is specifically focused on menopause, and that's why she's our guest today. You can visit that particular portion of her corporation at www.menopauseshift.com. Again, that's www.menopauseshift.com. So with that, let's get started and say a big welcome to Chris. Hello, we're so glad you could join us.
Hello, and I hate snow and hate shoveling it, by the way.
We'll get Gail
to throw that out there.
We'll get Gail to come take care of your driveway.
Yeah.
Well, here in Atlanta, it doesn't snow much, but when it does snow, it shuts down the city.
That is very true.
Yes. And I'm from New York, so I don't miss the snow at all, and when it shows up, I'm highly disappointed.
So how much snow have you had, Chris?
This winter we've had more snow in a long time. We had, I think, two separate snowfalls, and one, it shut the city down for almost a week because
Ooh.
We don't have enough snow plows, I mean, to really get rid of all the snow on the road.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, I'd say you've had enough then.
Yeah, pretty much.
So, I have lots of questions for you today. I'm excited to speak with you.
Well, good. I'm looking forward to answering them.
The first one I have is, I know that you and Carrie recently co-authored the book Making Peace with Menopause, and I know it's available at Amazon.com and through book retailers. Can you tell our listeners a bit about the program that you've co-authored and what makes it so unique?
Sure. Well, when I met Carrie, I want to say it was almost 2 years ago, wasn't it, Carrie?
It's been quite some time. I would say that's accurate, Chris, about that. Time flies.
Well, yeah, wow, it has been almost 2 years. But when I met Carrie, we met on LinkedIn, and we ended up trading emails back and forth, and we were having such a hilarious time trading emails, we finally decided that we should change it to phone. And we had our first phone conversation, and we laughed, I think we were on the phone for, 30 or 40 minutes, and I think we laughed, almost all of it. And so we started it was just great. We had this great connection, and we started really talking about both of our specialties, and it was actually Carrie's kind of light bulb to say, women in menopause are going through such a difficult ordeal that sometimes they have a really hard time managing it, and your strength is helping people manage the shifts in their life. And so I'm wondering if there's something we could do together. And that was kind of the light bulb moment where we saw that we could work together, and so we created a book. We've got a group program and a private client program that helps people walk through the book in a structured fashion, and we're really pleased with it.
Well,
it was
great.
An amazing project. And, I do want to just interject since we're talking about that, and the reason that I'm so excited to hear what you have to say today, Chris, is because of your area of expertise, I think you really handle an aspect of the coaching industry through this menopause portion of your business that no other coach is out there doing. I think this is an area. Menopausal women need the coaching information that you have to impart to them. They need help getting around the issues of mindset and loss of self-esteem and maybe letting fatigue overrun them and losing a little bit of their personal discipline. You have such a gentle way of coaching, yet such a powerful way of coaching. That I think you're just tremendously effective for this particular audience in general. So I'm very excited about your menopause shift division of your company.
Well, thank you. I appreciate all the kind words.
Well, it's just true. Now, I know I'm interrupting Gail. I know she's got other questions for you. I just wanted to say that to you, but...
Well, Chris, it's interesting because I just said to Carrie recently that there are a lot of coaches out there coaching women in their midlife years, whether it be career or personally, and what they're missing is what Carrie just stated. They're not really looking at all the effects or impact of their menopausal symptoms on making that career change or that personal change of getting a divorce. They're not really looking inside and saying, okay, their brain's totally rewiring. They're questioning their sense of purpose and where they're going. And a lot of it has to do with menopause. It's not like all of a sudden one day that they're just up and changing their mind, like, okay, I want to change careers. There's a lot going on mentally, physically, and emotionally that these coaches should realize before they start coaching menopausal women.
Mm-hmm.
So, Chris, do you agree with that?
Oh, absolutely. I think that I think when you coach people in general, regardless of what you're coaching them around, that it really does start with what's going on in someone's head. And I'm not a therapist. I'm not qualified for that. But I do know that your actions and your beliefs, your thoughts and your beliefs really do drive your actions. And so internally, if you have low self-esteem, or if you are extremely tired, or if you feel as though your life is kind of falling out of control during the menopause transition, then you are going to act in a way that's not productive and not effective. And it really does start with how someone thinks to produce actions that are going to be effective.
Yeah.
That's very well put, very powerful.
That goes right into my next question, Chris. In conducting your research, what were the most interesting things that you discovered that made you create this new menopausal-related division of your company?
Well, I don't think it was so much discovery as much as it was just really connecting to Carrie's belief that this was so needed. I had never actually, menopause was so far off my radar. I'm 43, and I haven't actually gone into the deep droves of menopause. I'm really in the perimenopausal stage. And so it hadn't even dawned on me that was something that I could coach around until Carrie started sharing with me all the different ways that we aligned. And so it was really just an educational experience that connected the dots rather than research and, anything formal, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No, it does. Well, so if that's the case then, Chris, and this is, we haven't talked in a while, so this is kind of a nice way to catch up with you and see as you've made this progression into the menopause aspect of your business. As you were working on the project and as we talked about menopause and as we worked on the issues that we deal with in the book, what to you was the single most blessing or gift that you came away with thinking about menopause? What did you feel that as you learned more would be the best aspect of menopause for you?
Well, I think the most enlightening thing that I learned from you in doing this project was that menopause forces you to be who you are regardless of how you're acting. And that was such an enlightening moment for me because, I've always been who I am. I've never had self-esteem issues. I've never had problems being driven and getting what I wanted in life. But the more that I learned about menopause and the shifts and the things that happen physically and how menopause really does force you to be who you are, or at least forces you to address who you are, whether or not you choose to do anything about it is a different story because it is a choice.
Yeah, that's right.
But that was such a blessing because the more I started learning and the other books that you suggested that I read to enhance my education about menopause, I started seeing that women who entered menopause previously having dealt with all the issues and what I'll call crap that's gone on in their life, they enter menopause in a much better place and they're able to get through menopause usually much easier than women who have avoided dealing with any of the stuff that's gone on in their life before. Because then when menopause comes on and the brain starts rewiring and things start happening, all of this stuff that they have basically pushed aside comes full force to the front, and then what do they do with it? They have to deal with it or not. But if it's, if they've already dealt with it, then it's one less thing that they have to address in menopause, which makes the transition easier. So that was a blessing to learn that. But I'm already ahead of the game because I've already dealt with all of my stuff. I've already been through therapy. You know, I mean, we're good.
That's so nice. But, you know, that is a very profound point, and I don't really think – I think some women get it, and then I think other women don't. We have mentioned it before in other shows, just touched on it briefly, but it is very true that if you have a lot of emotional baggage or you have a lot of toxic emotions or experiences from your past that you have not looked at or you've been unwilling to deal with, it comes back full force during the menopause process, which is unfortunately a time when you're sometimes at your weakest physically or emotionally because of the hormone changes, the imbalances that occur, and it can really make for an ugly, nightmarish experience. And I was just doing an interview the other day. I was asked to give an interview, and the person wanted a quote for the interview and the chapter that they were doing on me and the business. And really, the thing I wanted to impress upon people the most is kind of a takeoff of The Velveteen Rabbit, my favorite children's book. And I know that you feel this way too, Chris. It's that life has a way of making you real, whether you want to be or not, really. Life has a way of bringing up your issues and polishing you and honing you and forcing you to work through a lot of stuff and to face a lot of things that you rather probably would not want to mess with. So I'm glad that you came away with a keen appreciation of that, because I think it does mesh very perfectly with your background, but I think it is a component of menopause that women really need to be educated about and they really need to be made clear on. So that being said, how does then, in your way of thinking, how does mindset play a role in how a woman views her midlife experience, and especially how does mindset impact a woman's menopause, in your opinion?
I think I alluded to that earlier when I was talking about thoughts and beliefs producing actions. It really does all start in the mind. One of the things, as I coach people in general, is that I have to get their mind straight. I have to help them, if they are not, get to a place as to where they are fully confident that whatever it is that they're trying to shift is possible, first of all, that belief, and secondly, that they can work through whatever challenges they're going to face to get there. And if you have belief and if you have confidence, nothing can stop you. I mean, you can, it really goes back to, you can put two people in the same situation on two different sides of the earth, and they don't know each other. And yet, if one person has belief and confidence and the other person does not, they will have two radically different experiences, even though they're going through the same situation. And it all boils down to mindset. It's the glasses half full, glasses half empty kind of concept.
Yeah, that's very true. And, you know, I think about when you just spoke those words, I think about a woman who is not comfortable with the changes that her body is making during menopause, some of the weight gain issues or the other physical changes, the component of fertility, the loss thereof. There are women that grieve all of those changes. Every single one is, to them, another nail in the coffin, or another step deeper into old age. And then there are women who just have, it sounds like or appears like they've lived their entire lives to get to the point of menopause so their life can truly begin. And their mindset is so profoundly different from the negative women that are really struggling and suffering and they feel like they're disintegrating and deteriorating and falling apart. These women that rejoice and embrace menopause, it's the best time of their lives. And I just find that so interesting. Isn't that just bizarre?
It is. Any experience that we go through, even though it may be difficult, can be made much more tolerable if we are positive about what we can learn as we're going through it. And secondly, to know that there are seasons with everything, and that even if this season is difficult, there's always going to be sun on the other side.
That's a nice thought.
That's a great point. Something I
I'm sorry, Gail, go ahead.
No, I was going to say something I blogged about 6 months ago is in menopause, what comes first, the cart or the horse? Meaning, does your negativity really manifest your menopausal symptoms, or is it vice versa? How big of a role does mindset play in menopausal symptoms? Because if women are sitting around the table saying, oh, I had hot flashes last night. Oh, yeah, I did too. I gained 20 pounds. Yeah, I did too. It's almost like they cry in each other's misery. And, of course, if they're not meeting that expectation, they will manifest that expectation. They'll start to gain weight. They'll start to eat more, not exercise, to fit into that. And that I just posted that as a potential. I mean, we really don't know, but is it the cart or the horse?
That's interesting. Well, you know what this brings to mind is when I first started really focusing all of the career background that I have on menopause, one of the first articles that we wrote at Menopausarus was kind of loosely based on mindset and the female experience. And there were some studies that we researched to write the article that had been done pertaining to a young woman's first menstrual period and the experience that generated in her family. And it was found that girls whose families were either just disdainful that she had begun menstruating or they weren't happy about the news that she was now sexually mature, those girls would go on to have much more painful menstrual cycles, and they would have a lot of issues around their periods each month, whereas girls whose families rejoiced that they were now young women and it was a lovely coming-of-age time and an experience for them that was favorably met by their moms and sisters and whoever else in their family that shared the news with them, they went on to just be fine and have a lot of pain-free menstrual cycles and no real issues with their periods and fertility. So it was interesting that even then, it's almost like how you program a woman at her first period is how you set her female experience around menstruation and sexuality and fertility. And it seems to carry through the menopause experience from one degree to another. So it's very interesting. And I think this is an area that people have looked at, but maybe not as much as I wish they would. I think this is an area that needs much more research.
Well, and even if we're talking about just pain in general, you know, I mean, look at the people who are by society standards handicapped. You know, maybe they don't have an arm or a leg, or maybe they've got, they're stuck in a wheelchair, or maybe they have chronic pain, whatever it is. This pain that they're dealing with, there are some people in those situations who by all rights have a sad life because they treat their life as sad and they wallow in what they're missing and they wallow in, oh, I'm in pain all the time. And then you see other people who, again, have the same exact physical situation and you see them smiling, you see them excelling, you see them doing things that some people that are fully functional can do. And it's about mindset. I mean, it's because they refuse to allow that physical discomfort, that physical limitation, keep them down.
Like that makes me think of the
without limbs. Life without limbs.
Oh, yeah.
The guy. Yeah. I mean, he's a perfect example. He doesn't have arms or legs. The guy travels around the globe. I had the opportunity of meeting him about 3-4 months ago. He was staying at the same hotel I was. And it was just amazing. He just got around like a normal person. didn't let it get
get
him down.
He has
and
such
very
an
happy
amazing spirit. Such an amazing spirit. Well, you know, Ronnie Millsap was interviewed in the 90s, and someone asked him, or 80s, or I forget when it was, someone asked Ronnie Millsap about his blindness and how much of a handicap it was to him. And his answer was it wasn't a handicap, it was an inconvenience, and he refused to allow it to be anything more than just an inconvenience. And I thought, wow, that's quite a mindset to have.
Yeah.
And so as women are going through menopause, even if the physical part of it is difficult, it's really your mindset as to how you deal with it. You can either focus on that and let menopause be a horrible experience, or you can treat it like any other pain type of situation and figure out the best way to manage it, deal with it, and work through it as best as you can.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I know we've been yakking here and we've just totally forgotten. We should probably take a quick announcement and get back into this because we've got a whole lot more to talk to Chris about today. So why don't we take that quick break, Gail, and then we'll jump back into it.
And now for the Magnificent Menopause and Beyond legal disclaimer. Throughout the show, Carrie and Gail may at times discuss products and treatments for menopause symptoms and related issues. They wish to make it very clear that at no time are they prescribing. Their suggestions and those of their guests are being made in accordance with their training and experience in their respective fields of expertise. We encourage you to take the information obtained here and discuss it in detail with your physician and/or naturopath, allowing him or her to make the final decision as to your treatment. Carrie, Gail, and their guests are in no way responsible for your medical outcome, and the purpose of this show is for educational and informational purposes only. That being said, now let's get back to Magnificent Menopause and Beyond.
And indeed, let's do, because this is a meaty conversation. So we're getting back to our interview with Chris Kavanaugh from Shift, Inc. and MenopauseShift.com. And that being said, Chris, what I'd like to know is, can you describe how self-esteem is linked to mindset, or in your opinion, is it really?
I think it is. If you think about self-esteem, it's how you feel about yourself. And so if you don't have a high opinion of yourself, more than likely you are not going to be able in your mind to make decisions that other people would. And here's a good example. Let's say you have two women, both the same age, both from the same background, but one has high self-esteem and one has really low self-esteem. And they both have a goal. Now, the woman with high esteem will be making choices based on her belief that she can achieve this goal because she knows that she's fully capable of doing it because she believes in herself. She has a high opinion of herself. And so everything that she does to get to that goal is going to be very proactive. She'll be taking meaningful risks. She may try things that she's not sure about, but she'll be moving as quickly as she can to get there because she knows that she's capable of it. Now, the woman who has low self-esteem, inside her head, her mindset is going to be completely different. She's going to look at that goal, and she's either not going to believe that she can achieve it, or she's going to think maybe she's not good enough to achieve it, or maybe she is going to say, oh, I don't ever know if I'll ever be able to get there, but I probably could do it. And so her choices are going to be different. She may not have the courage to step out to do something that needs to be done for her to get there. Or she may allow other people who may not have her best interests in mind to block her from getting there. Or she may have, because of her esteem, she may have surrounded herself with people who will really give her a hard time for trying to achieve this goal, and she won't be able to get there because she doesn't believe enough in herself to step past that to get there. So that example, I think, gives kind of a structured and concrete way of looking at esteem as compared to mindset. when you want something or when you're shifting through something, your esteem either gets in the way or it fast tracks you through the shift. Does that make sense?
Oh, absolutely.
Yes,
that's interesting.
Definitely.
Yeah, very clear examples. I appreciate you doing that.
And I guess, Chris, it all comes down to self-esteem is really self-love when you get down to the heart core of the matter. Or even, I think, I'm not sure of the hierarchy, but even self-worth is in there and self-love of yourself, loving of yourself, that you don't love yourself enough to respect your body or respect your mind. And we are always fighting against society because we're setting ourselves up for failure, looking at the expectations. Carrie and I had a conversation about what we're seeing in the magazines as the best physique to have. And women over the age of 40 just don't look like that anymore. Or the expectations of, you know, executives, and that you're achieving that in your business world, that you want to be an executive or looking at it. So we set ourselves up for failure by looking at those higher expectations. And if we don't have the self-esteem, like you said, it will get in the way.
Mm-hmm. It will. Self-esteem is either a catalyst or it's a, a rock. I mean, it's either going to stop you. It's a wall or a catalyst. I guess that's the way to put it. It's a wall if it's low, and it's a catalyst if it's high.
I always say to myself, if there's something negative my mind says, I always think of a little man on my shoulder, and I always look back at him and say, thank you for sharing. And I just go about my day. So that's how I sort of like release it.
Well,
so,
but that's
Chris,
an important point to make, because if somebody listening does recognize that they have low self-esteem, it's not the end of the world. It's simply, okay, well, what choice are you going to make today? Are you going to choose to stay low, or are you going to choose to start doing things to increase your self-esteem? And it's going to be a rough journey, because moving from low to high requires that you do things completely out of your comfort zone. And if you have low self-esteem, that's the first thing you're not going to want to do.
Right.
So for all the women listening, if you're ready to shift from low to high self-esteem, then make the choice and find somebody that can help you through that. It can be me. It can be anybody. Just find somebody that has your best interest in heart and wants to see you move in that direction.
And I'm sure you've heard of the author John Kehoe. He really works with positive mindset. And some of the things that he suggests is that if you're having negative thoughts, and it can apply to self-esteem also, is to exaggerate the negative thought and really explode it out of the water, that you start laughing at the exaggeration. Or even stopping the process by clapping your hands or screaming out loud or jumping up and down, that you're actually changing your energy pattern so that you move forward into something else. So there's some great suggestions that if women are having self-esteem issues, there's some things that they might be able to apply in their own lives.
Well, you know what I think about is Chris has a segment of one of her coaching programs where you have to – it makes me think of the gremlins, Chris.
I was
the gremlins exercise.
Yep.
Where you have to, and I thought this was the goofiest thing I had ever heard of, and I was very resistant to doing it when I took one of Chris's courses. And it's you name your bad habits or the things that hold you back or the bad thoughts or the whatever it is that holds you back. You take it and you name it. You give it a little gremlin-y name, and you kind of have this bonding experience with your gremlin so that when this particular gremlin shows up, you can just call him by name, oh, hi, how are you, and let him do his thing, and then you just tell him to leave like you said to do earlier, Gail. But I was surprised at how resistant I was to doing that exercise and getting to know what was holding me back and developing an intimate relationship with those things that were holding me back so that I could identify them and put them in their place when they happen. But it was a very powerful exercise once Chris forced me to do it.
I didn't force you to do anything.
Well, you gently and lovingly prodded me in the direction of doing it. And once I did, it was very freeing. It was incredible.
I simply told you that it wouldn't hurt you to try to do it.
And you were right. I'm glad I did it.
So that would be my homework, thinking of a name for my gremlin.
Yeah, for your little guy.
Ideas. Yeah. So, Chris, in your book that you co-wrote with Carrie, you talk about the four qualities of an adventurer. Can you share what they are and why they are important?
Sure. The four qualities, well, first of all, I guess we should talk about what an adventurer means.
Yeah, that would be great.
One of the things that Carrie and I did was we kind of wanted to have a name that women could connect with. And so the word adventurer came to mind. And so we ended up creating an acronym out of it. And so adventurer stands for ageless, dynamic, vital, empowered, new, tranquil, unlimited, refreshed, enlightened, and renewed. So that's what adventurer stands for. But the four qualities that you mentioned, these are the four qualities. It's creating vision and determining strategy, self-care, building culture, and team building. And let me kind of break those down for you. Creating vision and determining strategy is looking ahead. Where is it that you're trying to go during your menopausal shift? And it doesn't necessarily need to be specific. It just has to be, well, what is it that you want? You know, is this a time in your life where you want significant changes? You know, are there things that you've wanted all along in your life that you never got around to doing? Is this the time to do it? And if it is, then clarifying, what are those things? Creating visions around it. What does it look like? If it's not necessarily a thing, then maybe you decide, well, I want my life to be a certain way. And you put your stake in the ground and you clarify and create those visions and you determine what strategies or what action plans you need to take to make that happen. So the second quality, the self-care, is really about learning to take care of yourself so that the journey goes smoothly. Because in truth, you and only you are in charge of your life regardless of what shifts you're going through. And every step of your life, you need to make sure you're taking care of yourself. Because if you're not taking care of yourself, chances are no one else is going to take care of you for you. And if you're not taking care of yourself, you're probably not going to be good to anyone else around you anyway. And a really great example of that is a single mom. When single moms raise kids, they usually have very little support. So not only are they the breadwinner in the family, they're also the only emotional person in the family, which means that the kids come to them with their problems and they're the only ones that deal with their problems. And so there's nobody really there for the single mother. And so when the single mother ends up in this place as to where she is depleted emotionally, physically, mentally, she just has a harder time living her life. But if she would take the time to, you know, go out to a movie, to take a nap, to read a book, to run, to exercise, to do whatever needs to be done so self-care comes first, she becomes a better mother. She becomes a better in relationships if she's dating somebody. She becomes a better employee because then she's on track and she's focused and she's doing what she needs to do. And it all starts with self-care. So in any stage of life, you must take care of yourself so that you can do everything else that you have to do in your life. So that's the second quality. The third quality is building culture. And I know it sounds a little strange, but here's what it means. It talks about your appearance, how you treat mistakes, what you put up with, and your values. The culture that you carry around with you is essentially what other people see. It's how I look, how I treat mistakes, because if I don't treat mistakes well, the people around me are going to be afraid to make mistakes. So I've always had a culture that it's okay to make a mistake as long as, number one, you didn't intentionally make it, and number two, you're willing to learn something from it.
Right.
So that's a culture type of thing. And then what you put up with, you know, how are people treating you? Are you going to let them treat you in a certain way? What really bothers me is when I'm out and about and I am in a place and I hear someone berating someone else so loudly, everyone can hear. And I get boiling angry because I don't care if that person deserved whatever needed to be said. Number one, you don't do it in public. And number two, there are better ways to say something than like you said it. And if that person allows that other person to do it over and over and over and over again, then they've built a culture that it's okay to be mistreated. And so that's something, is the culture about how people treat you. And everyone around me knows they better respect me, because the moment they show me no respect, they're gone. Either I walk away from them and it's over, or they need to, you know, or I take them aside and I'm like, what was that? And let's talk about what happened, because you will never treat me like that again. And people know that, because that's the culture that I've built. And then my values, you know, just the everyday values that are ingrained in me that I live my life by. And then finally, the team building part is anybody that is going through a transition needs a support system of some sort, and that's your team. And it's professional and personal relationships with the right people. So it's really important, no matter what age you are, that you have the right people around you. And there's an old saying, and I don't know where it came from, that you are the average of the five people you hang around with most. And so if you look at the five people you hang around with most, if most of those people are not people you really desire to be, then it's time to change people and find other people that you want to be with, people that can be moving and in directions that you're trying to go, rather than being stuck in places that you don't want to be. So those are the four qualities and an explanation of them.
That was very well explained. You know, two things came to mind, Chris, as you were talking. Number one is, when you were presenting your material for your portion of the book, when I read about what are you willing to put up with, I thought, now it took me a while to get my mind around that, and I thought, now, good heavens, I don't think I've ever been asked to ask myself that question before. What am I willing to put up with from people, from life, from employers, from clients, from family members? What am I willing to put up with? And that was such a bizarre question to have to sit down and ask myself, because I have high self-esteem. I've always had high self-esteem. I was raised to respect myself, to treat others with respect. It's, again, that Southern thing. So that was never an issue for me. But to really sit down and go, okay, what am I willing to endure and put up with? That's a very freeing question when you have to sit down and define that and set boundaries for yourself involving that topic. It was very freeing to really work it out in my head. And it was also a very helpful tool to do that. So even though we were writing this book together, I did learn a tremendous amount from you and the material that you were contributing to the book. So that's the first thing I wanted to say. And the second thing I wanted to say, to address a point that you made earlier about self-care, is we do have a segment in the book about the importance of self-care. And in my experience as an esthetician and someone that has worked in the beauty industry, skincare industry, for 25 years or more, it's important that women understand that it can be something as simple as 5 minutes a day. I know that there are a lot of single mothers out there. There are a lot of married women that are raising children and running homes. There are a lot of career women that are single that are very harried and stressed for time. Self-care can be something as simple as washing your face and combing your hair every day, but doing it mindfully. I used to do a lot of work with cancer patients and then also in domestic violence centers, where some of these women were in safe houses, and I would go in and teach them the importance of just 5 minutes a day for themselves, even if it was just putting body lotion on. That begins to make a tremendous switch in self-esteem and mindset. It's a very important tool for a woman to use. Just 5 minutes a day doing something loving for yourself can have a phenomenal impact, not only on self-esteem, but on physical stuff, mental stuff, emotional stuff. And especially I think that's true during menopause. It's crucial to take time to check in with yourself every day, just a few minutes. So I kind of wanted to drive that point home a little further, because I think in the area of self-care, women fail. And those, if we were to grade their efforts, I think the highest grade we would be able to give most women is a C for self-care. We always put ourselves on the back burner. And to me, that is the biggest blessing of menopause, is menopause is a reset button. And it's a time to say to others, I'm going through this right now. I'm having some difficulties. I need to eliminate some of the stress in my life. I need to restructure my life so that it's kinder to me, or that I do things that I'm more up to right now. I mean, menopause is not a time of being an invalid by any means, but it does bring with it some tough challenges. And I think it's important that women use this time as a time to really get to know themselves. And so that's something that for me is first and foremost in my mission about educating women in menopause, is there are some blessings to be had in this time if you're smart in how you deal with them. So that being said, I'll hush up now. And Gail, do you have more questions?
Well, yeah, I actually have a follow-up to what you just said, Carrie.
Oh, good.
Yeah,
okay, great.
It's almost like menopause forces a woman, if they're wearing rose-colored glasses, to take them off. And mm-hmm. menopause really does force you to look at your life the way it really is rather than the way you're pretending it is. And when menopause
true.
Comes around, you, again, have choices to make. Because once you see the reality of the way your life is, then you either address it, get mm-hmm. through it, make it better, or you choose to stay in denial, and by the time mm-hmm. menopause is over, it's going to be worse. It's going to be an even more difficult time for you to
That's
try
right.
and shift
yeah.
things if you even want to at that point. It's going to be even more difficult for you to do it.
Mm-hmm. Well,
yeah, I call that.
Thank you for adding that.
I call that the parting of the Red Sea, because around 40 to 50 years old, you really see a difference in women. That's where, like 40, everybody sort of looks the same. They can hold it together, but by 50, I call it the parting of the Red Sea. You can see that women are taking care of themselves and doing everything they can to feel good about themselves, and then you have the other ones that we were just talking about that have not done anything, and disaster strikes, ailments, disease, severe menopausal symptoms. They're struggling to make it every single day. And that leads me into my last question, Chris, before we go to a commercial break, is what steps can a woman take to ensure a healthy mindset moving into her transitional years? And how can a woman make adjustments now to ensure a positive menopausal experience as she moves forward?
Well, I think it's just being clear and real. It's taking a honest look at who she is, what mm-hmm. she wants, and where she's trying to go. I think every
right.
woman let's say every woman 30 and older, because I think up until about 30, you're still trying to figure yourself out, but somewhere around 30 is like the magic age where it usually happens. And then once you figure yourself out, it's then your responsibility to continue to move in the direction that you would like to go. And so if a woman has not yet taken the time to figure out who she is, what she wants, and where she's trying to go, then the first step is to mm-hmm. answer those three questions. And even it can
right.
be as simple as pulling out a piece of paper and saying, who am I, what do I want, and where am I trying to go? And then finding people to help her get there.
Yeah, they're great tips. Well, before it gets too late, I'd like to do our commercial break.
Are you ready to start living your life on purpose? Chris Kavanaugh is a speaker, author, and coach who specializes in helping others cultivate a CEO mindset in every area of their life, so their businesses, careers, and personal lives thrive. She is an expert strategist with an amazing ability to pull her clients through difficult challenges to obtain the life they truly want, both professionally and personally. If you desire to live your life on purpose, so that you wake up every day excited about the possibilities and maintain an unwavering belief that you will overcome any obstacle, especially as you transition through menopause, then Chris Cavanaugh is the resource for you. Learn more about Chris by visiting her websites, www.menopauseshift.com, and also www.begintoshift.com. Trust us, you'll be glad you did.
And we're back. Chris, you know, this is a question I would like to ask you. I know we've been talking about women in general, but you have such a strong background in coaching business owners and senior level professionals. I'd like to get your take on this. Since menopause affects every area of a woman's life, including her career, what advice would you give women executives in these senior-level positions who are starting to experience menopausal changes and symptoms that they can't hide?
Well, I guess the first thing that I would do for these women is to help them become clear about what they are capable of handling and what they are capable of not handling at this moment, and delegating what they can, or trying to adjust how they approach their career to manage it effectively while they're going through the transition. And I don't know what that would look like from position to position to position, but ultimately a woman knows what's going to fall through the cracks and what is not going to fall through the cracks with certain menopausal symptoms, okay? Like, for example, one of the things that I learned when I was working on the book project was that sometimes memory is affected during menopause. And I don't mean, you know, you lose your memory. You just become forgetful, or you become more forgetful. So one thing a menopausal woman might have to do if she doesn't develop the habit of it is creating lists of things that she needs to do so that she doesn't forget certain things and ends up looking bad in her career. And there may be other things. But just being honest about what's going on with your body and your mind, creating game plans to address and deal with whatever's going on, and then around as you can, as you're continuing to go to work day after day after day.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's interesting because I know for a while, it seemed like back in the 80s and 90s, women were so geared to try to be men in the work environment. And during that time, it seemed it was just totally verboten to even insinuate that you had female organs, or that your body was female and had female things going on with it. And I'm amazed now, because I know that during that time you just never even insinuated you had anything like menopause going on. But there were executive women standing up giving presentations, sweating profusely and having obvious hot flashes, and people just tried to ignore them. I think we have gotten much healthier, realizing that women don't have to be men to be powerful. We don't have to be men to run companies. And I think what I am glad to see now is that women are able to say to people, I'm sorry, I do have some issues going on now, and I'll do my best to work around them, but this is happening. And I think it seems to have made the workplace much more hospitable and real, at least in my opinion. But I mean, do you think that is the case, or am I just totally wrong in that?
No, I think that if a woman owns who she is, however she is, it's easier for other people to own it. It's the same thing as if you're up doing a presentation and you trip and you break something, okay? You can either get all embarrassed and totally destroy the presentation, or you can get up and you can go, make some funny joke about it, and you know what? Move on. And it's the same thing. Regardless of how menopause is affecting you, if you can laugh and make light of it and still do what you need to do, everyone around you is going to be more comfortable with you going through that experience because you're not making it uncomfortable. So it's up to the woman to really have the perception externally, it's just menopause. It's not a big deal. Yeah, I'm sweating. Mm-hmm. Okay, it's a laugh. Let's move on. You know, just make light of it and move on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, so that being said then, as an executive and life coach, what do you feel is the most important thing for menopausal women to know about the menopause process and the emotional changes that they may encounter? I mean, what do you feel is the most important thing?
I think it's important that they recognize that there's going to be a period in time that they're not going to feel in control and they just have to accept that that's part of the process. When you are willing to accept that you're not going to be in control, it's a lot easier to approach what happens. I think life in general is like that. If you can sit back and say, okay, I don't really understand this, I'm not sure what's happening, but I know I can get through it. I just don't quite know how I'm going to get through it until a second from now. But that second is going to come, and I know I'm going to handle it then. So it really is just accepting that during menopause, there are going to be times and there's going to be a period, no pun intended or maybe pun intended, that you will not be in control and you just have to let go and not be in control. And it's okay. Just deal with whatever comes up the best that you can.
The truth of the matter is we're never in control throughout life.
That's
true. Control is just a fantasy, fallacy thing. I mean, if you get right down to it, we're never in control anyway. So the sooner you can let go of the concept that you are, I think the healthier you'll be.
Yeah.
Well, there are things that you are in control of. I mean, you're in control of your actions. You're in control of your thoughts. You can't control people. And sometimes you can't control situations. But, yes, you're right.
That's
for the
very
most
true.
Part. For the most part, you're not in control.
Well, that was an important clarification, and I'm glad that you did that. So I know we're down to about 3 minutes now. So, Gail, do you have one last question that you want to ask Chris? Or?
Well, Chris, I know you've reviewed a lot of things with mindset and personal self-care, and as with every show that we have, I always try to get our guests to summarize some of the best tips that they can give our listeners or takeaways that they can give our listeners before we leave the hour. Do you have anything for our listeners?
In terms of tips,
self-care tips or mindset tips?
Well, probably more mindset. I think self-care is easy. You choose to do it and you make time for it. I mean, it's a choice. So the first tip would be make the choice. And then the second tip would be commit to the choice. I mean, those
right.
are two extremely important tips for self-care. For mindset, it's really be honest with yourself about how you think and how you approach your life in general, both personally and professionally. And if you don't think that the way you approach your life in general is effective, then find somebody who is living their life the way you would like to, or shifting through a transition the way you would like to go through that transition, and ask them to help you get through it. So reach out to people who've already been there and done that to help you through it. I guess those are the two best tips I can give you.
Well, those are pretty darn good ones. Well, you know, we're down to the last minute, and so I want to make sure we get your offer in to the listeners before we run out of time. Chris is offering a very special gift to the listeners today. If anyone purchases the Making Peace with Menopause book and workbook by February 5th, she will also include a 30-minute coaching meeting to help you begin to address one very challenging area of your life. So in order to schedule this meeting with Chris, you'll want to go to menopauseshift.com/Carrie, C-A-R-R-I-E, dot PDF. And is that dot at the end of PDF, Chris?
No, that's a period because that was the end of the sentence I sent you.
Oh, okay, good, because I wasn't sure. So, again, that's menopauseshift.com/Carrie, C-A-R-R-I-E, www.mindfulnessmedicine.pdf. And that's quite a nice offering you're making, so thank you for doing that. I am so tickled that you are taking time, you're willing to take time out of your schedule to be with us today. This was a lot of fun.
Thank you,
and Chris. Not only that, very helpful.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. And I'm planning on putting the recording of this show up on the Menopause Shift website, too. So if anybody doesn't happen to get it off of your blog talk show, when they go to get the offer, they'll find it over there at some point, too. So
wonderful. Well, thanks so much, Chris. You stay warm.
Thank you. I will.